John, the CDC, of course, last week when we were following this story, admitted that it was not an accident, that it was sent out intentionally. Now, they didn't go out and say that they thought it was a criminal intent, but they did say it was sent out intentionally, that it had to have been. What have you uncovered lately?
Well, first of all, to clear up a little bit of confusion, all the labs that tested this virus passed their tests with flying colors, no doubt, because they were only required to determine whether the sample was so-called type A or type B. So they were never asked to look any further to discover what year it was and what strain and that kind of thing. And that's why none of the labs, until the one in Canada uncovered it, knew anything about it. So all this passed completely under the radar. One of the very interesting points that I've turned up here is that on April 13th, the head of the CDC, Dr. Gerberding, admitted that the Canadian lab that first discovered this virus had been sent out, and this was around March 26th.
Okay, and this is a sample that was sent to the Canadian lab, right?
That's right,
okay.
For testing. They discovered this virus not in a test sample, but in a specimen sample from a human patient. In other words, despite all the rules about safe handling of viruses in the lab and so on, the 57 virus had somehow escaped from a proficiency testing sample into a patient, a human patient sample that was being treated by a doctor somewhere. I mean, talk about completely reckless handling. In order for that to happen, safety procedures had to be out the window completely. So this gives us a glimpse into what actually happens in labs as opposed to all the bland PR statements about how everything is completely safe. And that's a fantastically important thing. The other basic thing is that the CDC is now admitting that there are about 24 samples that were sent out in the United States that have not been destroyed, and they don't really know where they are. They don't know which labs have them. They're looking into it. They're investigating. And so who knows how many labs actually in the U.S. were shipped these samples and how many still have them and how many have not been destroyed. Now, there's one left, according to press reports and statements from the World Health Organization outside the country, and that's in Beirut, Lebanon, and that's been sitting in the airport there for it to be, get this, shipped out somewhere else for destruction. In other words, we're going to get more shipping.
No, wait a minute. We sent one of these strains to the Middle East?
Yeah, exactly. They were shipped to a number of countries, and exactly one of these was shipped to Lebanon, and it's sitting at the Beirut airport. It's been sitting there for at least a couple of weeks now, and the officials there are waiting for orders as to where to ship it now so that it can be destroyed. Whereas all that has to happen is the World Health Organization people fly in from, say, Geneva, someplace close, and they destroy it there by heating it. But they want to ship it again, which opens this whole thing up to yet more leakage and more contamination. So that's, you know, completely insane. And also the situation with the Canadian lab is very ominous because obviously this virus got loose in the lab and started migrating all over the place. And who knows if the Canadian lab has found all the 57 flu viruses that are moving around there.
John, what do these facilities look like, the facilities that are the keepers of these strains? I mean, can you, if you're a scientist and you were walking down the hallways, would they have, like, refrigerators that would say 57 flu strain, AIDS virus, anthrax, polio, all the way down the line? I mean, is that how they keep these things?
In general, yes, that is how they keep them. Now, they would have separate storage lockers for what they would consider to be the more dangerous germs, like anthrax would not be sitting side by side with flu. But basically, that's what you've got. you've got refrigerators and you've got samples and the samples are supposed to be labeled correctly. You know, the guts of this story that we've been covering here for the last couple of weeks is now breaking out in related aspects all over the place. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And on the same line as your question, for example, we've got an aerosol chamber that's manufactured in Wisconsin. It's got a hood on it. This is in labs in 9 states in the United States and 3 foreign countries. The National Institutes of Health has encouraged that this chamber be used because it's supposedly so safe. And what they do with this is they do animal experiments. They load up this chamber with all kinds of various germs, and they aerosol it to lab test animals to see what happens to these animals in these labs. Now, some of this research is biowarfare research, so we're talking about serious germs there. So we have a more or less a breaking story as of this month that one of these chambers in Seattle has leaks. 3 cases of TB infection in human workers there were diagnosed. And other reports are coming in that these chambers actually leak in other places. The state of Washington Attorney General investigation of the lab in Seattle discovered that the actual inventor of this particular chamber trained the people in Seattle and said, this chamber is absolutely safe. Never be a problem. And now it turns out that this thing is leaking all over the place. The same manufacturer has these chambers in 9 states of the U.S. and 3 foreign countries. So another story of the same kind. We've got exposure infections in a Boston University lab, rabbit fever, which is also called tularemia. Now, this is, again, this is a specifically biowarfare germ that is being researched in various labs. And so there at the university, they had leaks and infections. And on top of that, the Centers for Disease Control refuses to say when the researchers at the lab in Boston started doing their work with it, how far back this thing goes. Naturally, people would want to know. And the key point here is that now these labs and these health agencies and the U.S. government are using so-called bioterror laws to shield the government from any public knowledge of how many of these leaks are actually occurring.
So they don't have to tell us.
They do not have to tell us.